Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Oh, I'm so excited. You know, I'm so excited for what God's doing, but we're excited for, this outreach coming up. You know, the Lord put it on our hearts very strongly to have a float in the parade this year. And we believe that that was just another outreach kind of thing, just to let people, you know, we got to be careful. When we talk about outreaches, we're not just talking about things that tickle people's fancy. Hallelujah. Just to get people to come in. We're not just trying to get people to come in. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to let people know we're here and what we do. Amen. Because, see, you know, Pastor Michael has always taught us, that's our pastor's pastor, but he always taught us, he said, whatever you bring people in on is what you're going to have to use to keep them. And so if you're giving away giveaways, if you're having free, you know, free this or that all the time, if that's what you're doing to draw people in, then you're going to have to continue to do that to keep people going. You have to excuse me here. A little piece of paper on the floor, and I can't handle that, so we'll take care of it. Hallelujah. Keeping God's house excellent. But you know what I'm saying? Like, we want to make sure that that what we're drawing people in with is the truth of the Word. Amen. Now, there's a level. The Bible says that if someone who wants friends, they got to show themselves friendly. Amen. And so we want to be loving and friendly and, of course, and all those things. But you know, it's the power of God that changes people's lives. It's the Word of God that changes people's lives. It's not the church programs. It's not the, you know, it's not even baptism doesn't change people's lives. It is an outward sign, and it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But that's not what changes people's lives. How do I know? Well, I've baptized people that aren't here today. Amen. Glory to God. Sometimes you can baptize people and they can live like the devil. That's their choice. But it's the Word of God. When people apply the Word to their lives, it'll change their lives. Amen. And that's what we're doing here. Listen, we're bearing with you. Amen. We're taking steps. Not everybody's going to come in and just be, spiritual giants overnight. It takes steps and it takes time and learning. And that's why the Bible says that to teach people with long suffering and spend time with them. Amen. And that's exactly what we're doing. When we came in, there was a lot that we had to learn. And today, there's still a lot I have to learn. Amen. But we're endeavoring to get into all God has for us. Amen. Praise God. Well, today I'm going to preach a message a little bit different, and in some respects, this has been stirring in me for quite some time. I finally get to use some scripture that's been stirring in me is what I want to say. But we're always talking about faith, and we are a faith church. We teach faith. You know, the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God, and so we want people to understand faith. But you know, there's another aspect of faith, and that's what faith isn't. Yeah. Amen. See, a lot of people, we can start to understand what faith is, and people start using their faith, but we have to understand that there's an opposite side to faith, too. And that opposite side means that there's certain things that faith can't do. Amen? So today's message is called What Faith Isn't For. Amen? So if you're taking notes, you can just write that down. But what faith isn't for. So my goal today is to get you to understand that there's certain things, you know, we still operate in a world. God didn't give us faith aside from our natural abilities. He gave them to work with the natural, amen, in the natural realm. You know, a lot of times when we see even Jesus, when he did miracles, like when he turned the bread and the fish into multiple and fed, thousands of people, when Jesus did that miracle, it still took somebody bringing something in the natural. Jesus just didn't make it appear out of nowhere. You know, even the devil has a clue on how this works. How do we know that? Because when he was trying to tempt Jesus, when Jesus was hungry, when he was in the wilderness, he said, turn those rocks into bread. He didn't say just create bread out of thin air. Amen. But see, because Jesus knew and the devil knew, and so the devil was trying to tempt Jesus in the way that Jesus was trying to be smart about it. Amen. But the devil's an idiot, so he didn't make it. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you understand, so we see this over and over and over again, that God always uses things in the natural in conjunction with our faith to make things work. And why do you suppose he does that? I would have to guess that the reason is because God is very big on our participation. God has never been a God that just likes people to sit aside and just watch him do everything. He wants to work with us. Amen. The Bible tells us that we are co-laborers with Christ. And that means that there's things that we have to do. But so many times in camps like ours, people will often get into a place where they start using faith for what faith wasn't meant for. And really what they do is they start to look foolish. And they start to give a bad testimony. You understand? You can't live wrong and then expect faith to cover you. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's what I wrote this down this morning. It's what you leave undone that is your undoing. And so many times it's the things that we get deceived and we just leave undone that is the undoing. God intended us to get there all along. Amen. Also, faith is the avenue that enables us to obtain. Now, we see that through the Word. We understand that by faith we obtain salvation. You know, Jesus paid for it. Yes, he gave it to us. That we can't deny that. And it's free for us to obtain, but we still must obtain it. It's not just something that just falls on everybody. And if you believe that, you don't believe the Word. You know, salvation is something that must be received. And we receive it from faith. And so faith is the avenue that enables us to obtain what we couldn't by ourselves. However, it is not a bailout for wrong actions. Faith does not erase the things that we do wrong. And that's why the Bible calls us also to be holy people, to live holy. Because if we don't live holy, then the blessing doesn't work. It can't flow through us. It's like cutting the lines. You know, we have lots of wires going all over the place in here that light up, and praise the Lord when everything works right. But if you cut a line in the wall, you know, something's not going to work right. And it's the same thing in our lives. Now, sometimes the line can be a small, lesser, insignificant line of power. And so, because none of us are going to be perfect, right? And so those, if we happen to cut one of those lines, you know, then maybe it's not the fullness of the blessing. But the more lines we cut, you know, you can cause a serious lack of power. So we want to make sure that we're people that are doing things right. Amen? Why don't we start in Luke 16. Luke 16, verse 8. Praise the Lord. You know, I say this all the time, and the reason I say it is because it's so important to me. And I'm going to say it again. One of the things that I love, one of maybe the greatest things I love about the family churches is the stability that it's put into my life. And the stability that I see that it puts in other Christians' lives who connect to what's being preached. See, the Word of God always leads people to stability. True Christians, if you're a true Christian following the Word of God, you should have the hallmark of being stable. Stability is just part of being a good Christian. I have met lots of Christians over the years that are the most unstable people, and that is because they don't have the Word sown in them the way that it's supposed to be. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now let's look at this here, Luke 16:8. It says, "So the master commended the unjust steward because he dealt shrewdly, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light." Now that word shrewd, what that means is literally it means wise. The sons, and what I want to focus on is the end part of this. Jesus was talking about this. The sons of this world are more wise in their generation than the sons of light. Who are the sons of this? The sons of the world and the sons of the light. We are the sons of light, amen? If you're a born-again Christian, if you've received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you are a child of God, you are a son of light, amen? It's a sonship, amen? It's a, if you're a female, still, you understand, it still applies to you, amen? But what it's saying here is that the people of the world, a lot of times, act more wisely than the people outside the world. You know, when I came into the church, when we started coming to church and getting faithful and getting to know people, one of the things I started noticing, we came into a fairly larger, quite a larger church than this. I mean, when we came in, it was about a little bit smaller than this, but it grew to be a church of about 350 people. And so there was a lot of people around all the time. But one thing that I noticed about Christians, as I got to know Christians, and you know this if you meet Christians out there, is that Christians get into some weird stuff sometimes. Sometimes Christians do things, you know, one of the things that Christians often get into are all these goofy get-rich-quick schemes. You know, it's like it's some stinking pyramid scheme that they get into and they think, well, this is going to be the answer, this is going to be the way. Listen, I'm not saying God can't bless somebody in there. I know he has blessed people that way. And I'm not saying God won't lead them. But when people rely on stuff like that, what happens is they get off, they get goofy. See, what Lord has called us to, if we follow the Word, if we do what the Word says, God will increase you in your life. But see, people don't want to do that. They want the get-rich-quick thing. And when people start, you know, and they want the quick answer thing. They want the quick fix thing. You know, they come in, they think, well, if I come in, if I pray, you know, if I get the pastor to pray for me, maybe I've been living in sin, but I get the pastor to pray for me, well, then it'll all get fixed and it'll all get better. But see, that's not the way it works. This is the way Christians often think. And this is kind of the type of stuff that this scripture is talking about. See, people in the world know that those things are a scam. by and large. They know that you can't just live any way that you want to live and get a lot of times. But see, the people, the sons of light should know this better than anyone. Why? Because we have a whole Bible that tells us it. And then we have the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of us that reminds us of it. Amen? Jesus told us all about these things, how to live. And I mean, the Bible covers everything from how to live just in your day-to-day to how to have a marriage, how to raise children, praise the Lord, how to increase in finances, how to be healed, how to not get lost, how to stay on the right track, how to have peace of mind. The Bible covers all these things. So why don't Christians live in those things? Because they don't put to practice the things that are written here. You know, another example of this is you have people, you have worldly colleges. You have all these people going to colleges, and they go to get a business degree or whatever kind of degree, and they start building their life, and they put these principles that they learn in college to practice, and their lives change, and they grow, and they're successful, and they do all these wonderful things. The sons of the world are more shrewd, are more wise in their generation than the sons of light. Amen? The children of light should have access to the best of everything. They should have knowledge in the best of everything. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. We have God, the very creator of all heaven and earth, and everything that's in them abiding on the inside of us. Amen? Praise the Lord. This is important to understand this. See, these principles are in Scripture for a reason, because it tells us something. And part of what we're going to be talking about today is the deception that Christians allow themselves to fall into. I said the deception that Christians allow themselves to fall into. There is a truth. If you don't follow the truth, you allow yourself to be deceived. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I work very hard at not being a deceived Christian. Very hard. Because sometimes it comes in and it tries to just sneak its way in there a little bit. It'll come in on maybe something that you want to think or something you want to like. And because you want it or because you like it, you will make a way, or you will find scripture to back it up, and you will make a way for it to happen. See, a lot of people are doing this today in the Christian church that accepts homosexuality. They're trying to twist scripture and say, well, it doesn't really mean that. It means this. And then they're deceiving a whole bunch of people. And the people, of course, that are living those lifestyles, they embrace it. They say, yes, this is what, you know, after all, and they do this with the love message. You know, Jesus, he was all about love. Yes, God is all about love. God is a God of love. But that doesn't mean he's a God of stupidity, too. Amen? Just because, and what the world looks at as love isn't necessarily what God looks at as love. You know, now God's love isn't hard to understand in the sense that we can't know it. Of course we can know it. But love doesn't just give somebody everything that they want. Love rejoices in truth. And so that's what we stay with around here. Sometimes people don't like to hear the truth. Sometimes people don't like to be taught the truth. But it's the truth that sets people free, not your ideas. It's not your tradition that sets people free. How do we know? Because if it was tradition that sets people free, every church that's a traditional church, I'm not talking saying they're bad churches, but they would be full of people that are set free. They would be full. Why? Because when you notice what happened to Jesus, when he was first there, nobody knew who he was. Now all of a sudden he starts doing something, setting people free. What happens? He couldn't go anywhere. I said he couldn't go anywhere. Why? Because people are attracted and drawn. Same thing happened with John the Baptist. When John the Baptist was preaching, the power of God was there, and what was happening? People were, the Bible tells us that John the Baptist was in the wilderness, and people came to him. I said, people came to him. Praise the Lord. That would rock a lot of people thinking, well, the preacher got to come to you. The preacher got to make sure and come around and clean up your mess all the time. That's not the way the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us those who are hungry go to get fed. They don't wait for the delivery truck. Amen? Praise the Lord. This is just the truth. And people don't like that, but see, here's the thing. I'm helping you because if you get out of the stinking thinking and start thinking the way God thinks, then you'll be set free. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So people, where Jesus was, the things started changing and things started happening. And because of that, people were drawn into it. Amen? The same thing applies today. If the real power of God was operating in churches, the churches would start being full. Amen? But see, what happens a lot of times is Christians, they don't share their blessing. They keep it to themselves. Or maybe they get blessed, and then they just go on living their life, and they forget about the one who brought them. Amen? You want to dance with the one who brought you. Amen? You know what I'm saying? Jesus brought you through. You want to, when you've gotten your help, when you've gotten your fix, you want to continue on with them. I've seen people have gotten their fix, and they're gone. I've seen people that gotten their help and they leave. Their marriage has been restored and then they take off. No, praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's the truth. But see, God has called us to righteousness. He's called us to faithfulness. Amen. Well, why don't you turn with me to Galatians 6. Praise the Lord. We'll go to Galatians 6 and starting in verse 7. Amen. I got to remember where Galatians is. Here, back this way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Galatians 6, verse 7. Hallelujah. And it says here, do not be deceived. So we see a commandment right here in verse 7, starting off. Praise the Lord. Do not be deceived. When it says do not, when the Bible gives us instruction, that means, first of all, that you have an option. Amen? Whenever an instruction is given, you have an option. Amen? If I put up a table and I put up cupcakes and I said, anybody who wants a cupcake, come up here and get it. And everybody comes up and gets it. But you have four people still sitting in the chairs. And they sit there and say, and they start crying, I didn't get a cupcake. Yeah, that's it. That's the way a lot of people operate in churches. Like, I didn't get a cupcake. But you didn't come get it. Didn't do the instruction. Because you didn't do the instruction, you ain't getting your cupcake. You know, I'm just telling you the truth here. Hallelujah. Do not be deceived. Listen, if the Bible tells us to not be deceived, there's a chance that we could be deceived. This is being written to Christians. Hallelujah. I said this is written to Christians. This isn't written to the world. This isn't written to the unsaved folk out there that are living life in sin. This is written to people that are sitting their pretty little butts in chairs, in churches, or in pews this morning. Amen? Or last night, or whenever they sit there. But that's what this is written to. Do not be deceived, folks. If the Bible says do not be deceived, we are in danger of being deceived. We don't have to be afraid of it because we have the Word that keeps us from being deceived. But if we don't allow the Word to do its part in our life, if we're going to stick to our traditions, I have sat with people, talked with people, and shared the word for them, with them. And they have said, because of what my tradition, in so many words, has taught me, because of what I always knew, because of what I always thought, that's what I'm holding on to. They are ones that are deceived. People can be deceived very easily, and they can be deceived by many things. I constantly, you can ask my wife, constantly question our doctrine. Are we preaching the right thing? I question it. Yeah, I'm not saying I sit around saying, oh, is it really right? Is it really true? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying is what we're talking, is it scriptural? Because if it's not scriptural, I don't want it. And on the other hand, if it is scriptural, I want it. And there's a lot in here that you don't know. There's a lot in here that I don't know. And we're trying to work towards getting that, amen? But the first step is not being deceived. So the first thing it says is do not be deceived. The second thing it says is God is not mocked. Okay, so this means that the way, what this is telling us is the way that God has created things is the way they're going to operate. Now listen, we believe in miracles around here. Anybody believe in miracles? I love the miracle working power of God. But the miracle working power of God was, the purpose of it was to help in times when there was no other option. Not when you decided to be deceived or when people decided to be deceived, did the wrong thing, and now they want a miracle to change things. Listen, if you are doing something wrong, an error, you cannot expect that your deception is going to be covered by the miracle-working power of God. Now, I will say this, and I want to throw this out here. There is another side to this, that God forgives us. And if you truly are repentant, and what truly being repentant means is that you stop. You say, I'm sorry, but then you change what you were doing. You do something different. If you're truly repentant, then God will forgive you and he will help you get back on track. But I'm going to tell you right now that God is not going to erase it. And when we talked about this, we talked about this last week, about the bite still is going to be bit, or you're still going to be bit, right? We talked about that. We saw that with the Israelites when they were bit by the snakes. They were still getting bit. God helped them with the outcome because they repented, but they were still getting bit. So we understand that, okay? This is very important. So we had God is not mocked. And then it goes on to say, and this is a very, very incredibly important principle in Scripture. We have to get a hold of this. I can't stress this enough. It talks about it all through Scripture, and we're going to talk about it right here. Amen? You ready? For whatever a man sows, Everybody say whatever. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Praise the Lord. If you sow corn, you're getting corn. But guess what? This scripture isn't talking about corn. It applies to corn, but that's not what he's referring to here. He's talking about deception. If you allow yourself to be deceived, you are sowing seeds of deception, and you will reap the things that come with being deceived. Amen? It's just the way it is. You can lie to yourself all day long, but it doesn't do you any good. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, whatever. Now, in context, this is really interesting, and we're not preaching on this today. In context, because we always like to stay in context, right? This scripture is talking about finances. It is talking about money. But that's not why we're talking about it today. We are, because the Bible also, it does say here, whatever a man sows. So we know that it applies to more than just finances. Amen? Whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Amen? This is so incredibly important. Christians, you can be a tither. You can be a giver. You can be doing good charitable works. But if you go out and say you start gambling or something like that, you've just entered into the realm of not being blessed. Say you spend money unwisely, you just entered the realm of not being blessed. You are effectively taking your tithe and your offering, and you're saying that you are nullifying it by your actions because you're not doing right. You got to do right by God. The same thing goes with your, like healing. You can be confessing healing all day long. But if you're doing things that cause sickness in the body, if you're not resting, the Bible tells us to rest, amen? We're supposed to rest at least one day a week. That's what the Bible tells us, amen? If you don't do these things, it will catch up with you. It doesn't matter if you're serving God. How do we know? It happened to Epaphroditus. You don't know who he was, but he was a minister in the gospel, in the New Testament. I can't remember specifically which book it talks about him in. It's in one of the epistles, amen? One of the Pauline epistles. But it talks about Epaphroditus, who he was working hard for God, but he wasn't resting, and as a result, he ended up getting sick. Getting sick was not God's will, but he didn't listen to the law of rest either. There are laws, there are rules, there are principles that we are operate by. Listen, you can't use your faith and jump off a mountain without a parachute, or out of a plane without a parachute, and expect that you're going to do good. It just isn't going to happen. You can't live your life in such a way that it nullifies everything. So many people, what they're doing is they're undoing God's blessing by either their words or their actions. Amen? Yeah. And you can do it by, it doesn't just have to be your actions, it can be your words too. If you sit around talking about how sick you are all the time, don't ask for God for healing because it ain't going to happen. Why? Because you're confessing all the time how sick you are. You aren't going to get your healing, it just isn't going to happen. You can't confess the wrong thing all the time, and the Bible's clear about these things, amen? Praise the Lord. Whatever you sow, you know, the Bible says, Jesus told us that the sower sows the word, right? That's in Mark 4. Tells us that the sower sows the word. Praise the Lord. Somewhere in that chapter, you go look for it if you want to. I think it's around the 20-something verse or something like that. But if it's not, praise the Lord. But I believe it's in Mark 4. The sower sows the word. So we understand that it's important to sow the word of God specifically. Amen? Glory to God. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Verse 8. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But wait a minute, I'm a born-again, spirit-filled believer. I'm a tither, I'm a giver. But I'm also a fornicator. You're sowing to the flesh. I'm an adulterer. You're sowing to the flesh. I'm a drunkard. You're sowing to the flesh. I'm just telling you, this is the truth. This is the word of God. Whatsoever a man sows, that he's going to reap. Amen? If you spend the bulk of your time fellowshipping, what I'm talking about. I mean, you can't control your job or anything like that. But if you spend the bulk of your time fellowshipping with people who aren't living right, guess what? You're sowing to the flesh. Amen? We have to understand, if you're spending the bulk of your time watching movies you shouldn't watch, or television shows that you shouldn't watch, or listening to music that you shouldn't listen to, I'm not talking about putting rules on you, God's trying to keep you from blessing. That's not where we're coming at. We're saying, listen, if you're constantly sowing garbage, then garbage is what's coming out. Why do you think the world looks the way it does? Why do you think this country is doing things today that even 10 years ago we would have thought appalling? 20 years ago, there's no way. And if the founding fathers could see what's happening in this country today, they would vomit. I'm not trying to be disgusting. I'm trying to tell you the truth. Why are we doing that? Because it's sowed. What do we hear on the news, the media? What's constantly being perpetuated out there? Well, this and this and this and this. And all of a sudden, if you oppose anything, if you think differently on anything, then you're a hater. You're vile. You're disgusting. All this stuff. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. But that's where we see it in the natural. This stuff works. This is a principle of God. This is how He created the earth. This is the way it works that way. It just does. Now listen, some of you, you come into the church later on in life. You weren't raised with this knowledge. Well, that's okay because we're teaching it now. We're going to change things around now. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was raised in church and wasn't raised around this knowledge. I was raised in a church and still ended up with a gun in my mouth. I was raised in a church and still ended up with a noose around my neck. I'm just telling you the truth. I was raised in a church and I still ended up on drugs. Why? Because it wasn't put, the word wasn't put in me. You know what I mean? There can be good-hearted people. You can have a room full of good-hearted people. That doesn't mean that their doctrine's right. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not against anybody. I'm not against them. I'm not against any other church. Praise the Lord. I am friends with other pastors in this town. I don't necessarily agree with them, but I'm friends with them. Amen. I had a sweet conversation the other day with one of them, just a sweet man of God. Amen. I love him. But, we think differently about the word. Praise the Lord. I want the power of God, though. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm unwilling to go without it. I said I want the power of God. I want experiences with the Lord. You know, last week here, when I sensed the presence of the Lord walk in here, and there's stuff I didn't even go into with that. I want that kind of thing. Amen. I want to see Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Praise the Lord. In verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in what? Due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Let us not grow weary while doing good. Sometimes doing good seems like it'll weary you. Sometimes it feels that way. How do we know that? Because the Bible says, do not grow weary. Right? It's like we have an option there too. How do we do this? We got to stir ourselves up. Amen. That's what we do. My wife and I spend a lot of time stirring each other up in a lot of things. But we don't always feel the greatest about any given thing at any given time. But we stir ourselves up towards those things. Why? Because the Bible tells us to stir up the faith that was in us. Amen. The Bible tells us that, to stir it up. So sometimes we got to stir it up. I don't feel like it. That's why you got to stir. Amen. When you go to your refrigerator and you pull out your jar of oil and vinegar, amen. You want to put it on your salad. What do you got to do? You got to shake it, which is the same as stirring. Basically, you got to mix up what's not there. Amen. If you're baking a cake, what do you have to do? You have to stir it. If you don't stir it, you're going to have a weird looking cake. Amen. And it's not going to be a very good one either. Amen. You got to stir it. Why? Because it's not stirred. That's why we have to stir. Because naturally speaking, you're not going to stay stirred. You're like oil and water. You're going to separate. You're like oil and vinegar. You're going to separate eventually. Right? You're not going to feel like doing it. That's okay. You don't need to feel like doing it. The Bible didn't say feel like doing it ever. The Bible never talks about doing anything according to your feelings. Ever. But most Christians live according to their feelings. We don't live according to our feelings. We stir it up. Why? Because you know what? The evil day is going to come. There's going to be a time when the devil's going to come try to rob from you. And what are you going to need to do? You are going to need to stir it up. Because if you don't stir it up, nobody's going to. And you will have train wreck if you don't do it. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, I love this. This is one of the things I love about older generations. You know, they say the World War II generation, the last generation. I mean, these people went through hell on earth. And they just came out and they just did things. They just lived life. Man, some of them had the worst luck, if you want to call it that. But they came out and did something afterwards. They built America. They built houses and businesses and did things. You know, when our ancestors came here, there wasn't all these government help programs, for God's sakes. They didn't have nothing. A lot of them were put into ghettos, shoved over here, said, we don't want you here. But these people built something in this country. They did something. You know, something's lost in this country because people stop doing it. Everybody wants it catered to them. Listen, if you teach your kids to be catered to all the time, guess what? They're going to be lilies just like you see out there running this world. We don't want that anymore. The reason, one of the things that made this country great is because it was built on the principles of God. Yeah. And those principles told people that if you don't work, you don't eat. Yeah, hallelujah. It didn't say that the government's going to supply anything for you. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. That's free, no charge. But you know, the mindset, the reason I preach on these things is because the mindset gets in people and then they bring it into the church. And see, then the churches start struggling because people aren't doing the same thing. Listen, there's something about being sold out to something. There's something called faithfulness. I mean, I've known people that wouldn't leave a job even when they're doing, even when they should. Why? Because they're faithful people. Amen? Now listen, I'm not saying that you stay at a place forever that's not right. But if you're skipping, if you're hopping jobs every other week, there's a problem with that. You know what I'm saying? Now be led. If God's leading you into something else, he will do that. And sometimes there's a season where it'll be bang, 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 maybe a couple in a row or something like that. You know, I'm not saying that. And if you've been wrong, well, praise the Lord, then you just start over and be right. Glory to God. Well, I'm glad you're excited. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Jeremiah 17. This is a really interesting scripture. I'm excited to get here. Jeremiah 17. God is good, amen? You know why he's so good? One of the reasons he's so good is because he gives us his word to give us instruction. It's this stuff that sets people free. Because you ain't got to think the way you always thought. You just got to think the way he thinks. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. We're going to read all the way through verse 10. Praise the Lord. Look at what it says here. The heart is deceitful above all things. Do not be deceived. The heart is deceitful above all things. I'm going to stop right there for a second. But I love this person. The heart is deceitful above all things. See, when you want to, when you want something to be right, you got to you got to make it be right. Amen. You got to make things. The one of the things I love, and I preached about this last night, but the Bible never tells us to conform to the way we feel. It tells us to transform ourselves through the Word. It tells us to turn ourselves into something we weren't before. That's what God wants to do. Doesn't matter how you come in. Listen, I don't care if you're a man thinking you're a woman. You come in here, God can change it. And he will, because God doesn't want you to be that way. Amen? Just because you think that way. And listen, I'm not down on people that think wrong. There's people out there in the world, they're going to think wrong. What's a travesty is when the church starts thinking wrong. Because then they don't teach the people that are out there thinking wrong to think right. Amen? See, the church has got to think right. But if you think that God's always trying to whoop you, if you think God's trying to destroy you, if you don't think God, you know, people talk about the love of God and then think God, you know, gave him cancer or something stupid like that. Well, that's just foolishness. God didn't give cancer. Why? Because he didn't have any cancer to give. That's the devil's realm. The Bible tells us that. The sickness comes from the devil. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. That's what the Bible says. Jesus went about doing good, healing all, everyone, who was oppressed of the devil. Not everyone who had a sickness from God. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. You know, I think about that. I was so excited when we saw that movie, the Apostle Paul was coming out. Oh, glory to God. I was so excited. You see a movie about the Apostle Paul? We went and started watching it. About 15 minutes into it, I wanted to leave the movie theater. Why? Because it was so unscriptural, it was sickening. But that's what America—that's what the American church looks at the Apostle Paul as. That's how they view faith. The Apostle Paul was the apostle. He was an apostle of faith. He taught us all about faith. He's the one who wrote Hebrews and taught us. Well, some people argue with that, but I know that he wrote Hebrews, praise the Lord. He wrote Hebrews that tells us that without faith it's impossible to please God. So you're telling me that the one who was shipwrecked and said that I could do all things? Well, praise the Lord, that was Peter. But you know what I'm saying. But he was right there with him. Yeah. Amen. You're telling me that these apostles, these were the ones that were weak and defeated? No, you can't tell me that garbage. Well, praise the Lord. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? What this is talking about is this is not talking about the renewed heart. This is talking about the heart that is in humanity. This is why you can't trust humanity. Humanity will tell you, you know, this stuff is right, this stuff is wrong, but you can't trust it because it's deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked. God said this. Praise the Lord. Now look at what he goes on to say, verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Wow. That's heavy. Hallelujah. God tests, searches the heart and tests the mind to give every man according to his ways, not God's ways, the man's ways, the woman's ways. Give them according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. You will reap what you sow. And if you are sowing things that aren't scriptural, aren't God, you can't use faith to overcome it. You can't use faith to stop the process. If you go out there, if you start reaping all these bad seeds, you're not going to be able to use faith to go pluck all those up. You can't do that. You can't spend a lifetime of sowing bad seeds and pluck them all up in a day. You can't do that. Amen? You can plant a field a lot quicker than you can harvest it. I'm just telling you. Praise the Lord. But the harvest is also a lot more abundant than what you plant. See, we have to be sure. We have to understand the Word tells us. Now, I am not saying that we can't use faith, and we need to use faith. We need to be people of faith. But what we can't do is continue to be deceived and expect that we're going to fix it with our faith. It will not happen. We can't change it. Listen, there are just things in life. I'm going to tell you. My wife and I, we started serving God how many years ago now, love? About 13 years ago. So my wife and I started serving God about 13 years ago. I sowed a lot of bad seeds before I met her. Well, guess what? We had to deal with some of the low harvest, even though we were serving God. Now, God worked with us, okay? And He brought us through it. He brought us all the way through it. A lot of the things, we're just now getting through to the other side. And we've been together 14 years. We've been serving God for 13 years. But some of the seeds that I sowed that when I was 18 years old, when I was 19 years old, I'm still dealing with today. Why? Not because God doesn't care, but God wants it. You have to understand there's a principle that God can't stop. The Bible tells us that God does not lie. He's not a man that he should lie. When he says something, when he sets something in motion, that's the way it's going to operate. Praise the Lord. So if you've sown a lot of bad seeds, I'm not saying God can't change it. Listen, I want you to leave here today with hope. And there is hope. But you have to understand that as somebody who's come out of the world or somebody who's been in the church for a while, at some point you have to make a change and start going towards those things. You can't do things the way you always did them. Amen? I'll give you one of the greatest examples that we learned. My wife and I came in, and almost immediately, within a very short time, we started getting faithful in every area of our life that we could. We started serving. We started just being a blessing to anyone we could. We started tithing. We started giving on top of it. And we still got into a place that was terrible in our finances because we were doing things wrong. Now, we didn't know we were doing things wrong, but we were doing some things wrong, and we weren't budgeting. We weren't doing. See, you can't expect God to bless us. If you're a Christian and you don't even know what you bring in or what you put out, listen, you're being a bad steward. You can't expect God's blessing on that because you don't even know what you got. You can't do it. God's blessing is not going to forego your stupidity. And I'm not trying to be mad. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. I'm trying to help you. You know what I mean? Because it's stupid thinking to think like that. The heart is deceitful above all things. You know, we have to make sure that we get things in order. My wife and I had to work hard at getting things in order. And there was times we had to cut things. There were things, you know what, one thing I've learned, we have had two financial seminars here now. We have talked to countless people about how to set things up and to get things right on the right course. And one thing I've learned is that most people who think they don't have enough to meet their monthly bills usually have more than enough to, but they just don't budget right. See, this is all stuff that Jesus taught too. This is all stuff that the Bible teaches us. Well, why do I say that? Because people that go out and they spend, you know, the things they think that they need, I'm going to tell you, like, we don't need half the stuff that we think that we need. Amen? It's just the truth. There was areas we had to cut, and we had to cut them for a while, and there was a time. But God brought us out. He brought us out to the point where there was abundance on the other side of it. Amen? Because that's what God wants, stability in your life. And finances is a huge, huge thing. Now, why do I even bring that up? Because probably one of the greatest causes of divorce, one of the greatest causes, almost, without fail, one of the biggest issues that people bring to me as a pastor is financial. Almost without fail. I mean, bigger than, and if they bring marital problems to me, almost always it can be traced back to their finances. Almost always. Very few things it can. That's just the truth. That's the truth. That's where people live. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so you can't live outside of what God has intended you to do and then expect for it to work. You can't use your faith to cover what you're not doing in the natural. On the other hand, there's other things too. You know, just like I said about the scripture that says, he wants friends, needs to show himself friendly. You cannot be a miserable person and go out there and expect people that are just going to like you, or people are going to want to bless you, or people are going to be good to you. Because you can forego your blessing by being a miserable person. Amen? You can do it by being too weird to people. I'm just telling you, listen, if you're a Christian that goes out there and starts, you know, getting up in people's faces and preach the gospel, I'm not saying there's not people that are called to do that. But I'm going to tell you, they're few and far between. God does call some, but God isn't calling everybody to just go out there and be slap you in the face with the Bible. On the other hand, we do need to bring people to the Bible. We need to bring them there, but we need to do that through love and patience and time, sowing into them, saying, hey, listen, oh, praise the Lord. I'm going to give you one real good. If you don't honor the house of the Lord, don't expect that anybody you want there to come there will do it themselves. If you won't go to church, or if you can skip church randomly without cause, I'm just going to tell you right now, you aren't going to get anybody else there. You won't. Why? Because they look at you and they see your unfaithfulness and they say, well, why do I need that? That happens all the time. I have watched people, by what they do, I have watched people ruin their witness to people because they go out. Listen, you can't believe God enough. You can't use enough faith to change that. I'm not putting impassable tasks in front of us today. But I'm saying we got to clean things up. When we know that something is wrong, then we need to fix it. Because we don't want to deceive ourselves. Amen? And we're just deceiving ourselves thinking that we're going to go on into the blessing of God. See, God wants us blessed. The fact that most of the church isn't blessed does not mean that God doesn't desire blessing. It means that most of the church isn't doing the word of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's just the truth. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Where are we? Okay, let's go over to, well, just look it up here, James 1:22. I love the scripture, I go to it all the time. But it's so true, and it just does help us in so many areas. What does it say? But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Remember what it said back there in Galatians? Do not be deceived. How do we be deceived? By being hearers of the word, not doers. We can sit in church, but sitting in church doesn't make you any more of a good Christian than sitting in a garage makes you a car. It just doesn't. It isn't going to change your life just sitting in church. There are people that sit in church and never apply the word to their lives, and they will never see a change. God doesn't operate that way. Listen, God doesn't operate that way. He will help you when you're first saved. You can come into a church, or you first come to a church, and you get saved. You know, God will meet you on a greater level at that point a lot of times because you're a baby. But if you're going to stay a baby for your whole life, God eventually can't do anything for you because you start living outside of faith. Don't be a hearer only. Don't just sit here and hear the word. You got to do the word. Back there again in Mark 4, where Jesus was talking about the sower sows the word, and he was giving the parable of the four different kinds of ground. Do you know in every church there's four different kinds of ground? Jesus saw it, we'll see it. He said out of the four types of ground that listen, to hear the word, there's four types of people's hearts. Remember the heart's deceptive? There's four types of hearts that sit in the church. Out of all those four types of that sit in the church, only one of them produces anything. I said, a quarter of the people that sit in church, only a quarter of the people that sit in church are going to produce anything at all. That's just the truth of the word. Now, you know, numbers might vary a little bit church to church, but you understand that's the truth. So out of the four types of hearts there could be, only one's going to produce anything at all. Now, out of that quarter that produces, it goes on to tell us that only some of them will ever produce all that God intended them to produce. Why? Because some people can go so far, but not all the way. Do you go all the way with God? Are you going to go all the way with what he has you do? Are you going to change it even when it's hard? Listen, we want to live in the blessing of God, but we need to make changes and adjustments to get there. Amen? Because what happens is the rules, so to speak, that we preach about or the things that we preach not to do, it's not to put people in bondage. It's to help bring people people out of that bondage. Because we want to bring you into the realm of being blessed by the Lord. But we can't do that. You can't be blessed by the Lord unless you are doing the word. Because you deceive yourselves. The Bible says if you don't do the word, you deceive yourselves. I've preached this probably 100 times since I've been pastoring. And there's still people that have sat under my ministry and have deceived themselves. Why? Because they don't do the word. It doesn't matter what I preach. The power of God. Listen, Jesus had the same issue. Jesus could do no mighty work in his own hometown because they wouldn't receive from him. You know that. Amen? They call it the carpenter's son. Amen? That's what they called him. And he couldn't do it. The Bible says that he couldn't do it. Jesus, the Son of God, God incarnate, God in the flesh. Amen? Was there anything Jesus couldn't do? Well, it said that in his own hometown, he couldn't do very many mighty works because the people didn't receive him. That's just the truth. So it ain't going to change here. Listen, it's just not going to change. It's not going to be any different. But the power of God will be evident in those who show it. And I'm going to tell you what. I know that I have a church full of some awesome-hearted people. Praise the Lord. I got people that are going to produce lots of fruit here that have already but are going to continue. And we're going to have more. Amen? Why? Because for one, we confess it, we believe it. But, you know, we have good-hearted people here. I know that we have. How do I know? Because you come back no matter how many times they yell at you. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know what that means? It means that God's doing something in you. Amen? Because you understand, too, that I love you and that if I get fired up, it's not me just spouting off at the mouth. It's because I care about people. My goal, I live my life to see people blessed. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Walk in the plan of God. Proverbs 24. Praise God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 24, verse 29. Well, this is really important here. I wanted to get to this. This is a scripture I was telling you about. I've been wanting to preach on for a long time. But you know, it's got to be God. You know what I mean? It's got to be God. I ain't going to preach a message based on what I want. I'm going to preach a message based on what God wants me to preach. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 24. I might have that wrong. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Is that right? The field of the lazy man. You look that up real quick for me. Praise the Lord. I don't know how I got that wrong. Well, I can miss it too once in a while. 30? Or verse 30. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was right. I don't know why you're trying to confuse me. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 24:29. Hallelujah. We wanted to start there. I wanted to start there. Do not say, I will do to him just as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. Okay? That's important. I will render to the man according to his work. That's important to understand. Now, let's get into verse 30. I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. Praise the Lord. When I saw it, now remember, the field of the lazy man. This is important. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. So what he's saying here is I went by the field of the lazy man. What did I find? I find it all disheveled, falling apart. I saw it, and I considered it well. I looked on it, and I received instruction. You can tell a lot about a person by what's going on in their personal life. Amen? If your house is falling apart, that's why we say all the time, that's why we're building excellent church. That's why we're always constantly improving something. Why? Because when people drive by, they consider it well, and they learn something from it. They know that the power of God isn't there. But now when people see progress, when they see change, when they see excellence, there's something about excellence that always draws people to it. You know, I'm always amazed whenever we've gone to Washington, D.C., and we see all these older buildings that are there and stuff like that, and the way that they built that Capitol. It just absolutely astounds me at the thought that was put into, and the planning that was put into something like our nation's capital, and that the people, you know, if they were to build that capital today, they wouldn't build it near like that. They wouldn't. They wouldn't put into it the way they the way they are now. They cheap out here, they cheap out there. They spared no expense. You know, some of these great cathedrals throughout the world, in order to honor God, they spared no expense, and nobody complained about it. The house of God that Solomon built, instructed by God, was the walls were coated with gold, instructed by God. And people have a problem when the church wants to put in new windows. Praise the Lord. Or when they want to do new siding. Coated in gold. See, it matters how we think. But see, on the other hand, I've also been in churches before. I've told you about this before. I'll say it again. In this town, I remember meeting with a pastor who was struggling and went into his church. And as soon as I go in there, everything's falling apart. Ceiling tiles are falling out. I start having an allergy attack. I don't even have allergies because of the must and the mold and everything else. Yeah. Well, you think anybody's going to want to sit there and listen to a sermon? Absolutely not. Well, how are people thinking about our life? See, I went by the field of the lazy person. See, sometimes it takes work. Sometimes we can't live our lives in chaos is what I'm saying. Yeah. And expect God's blessing to be on it. We consider it well. Amen. That's why I and I'm not perfect at things. Don't get me wrong. I'm like a tornado when I go through a place. Amen. You can just ask my wife. I thank God for my wife. God hooked me up well because she helps me alleviate some of that mess. But you know something? I don't fight her about it most of the time. I don't argue with her about it. Why? Because I know what she's doing. She wants it. She wants our house godly. We want the church godly. Amen. That's why I picked up a piece of paper on the floor. Why? Because if I had sat here trying to preach a message about excellence and there's a crumb of paper on the floor from someone's notebook, I'm just telling you the truth, amen? That's why I don't like weeds out there. That's why I say, if you see a weed, pick it. You ain't nobody special. You pick it yourself. You know what I mean? Why? Because I'll pick the weed too. Jesus had picked the weed. You know that, right? Jesus was a weeder. Praise the Lord. A de-weeder. Something like that, amen? Yeah, amen. Glory to God. What did he do to a tree that didn't produce? He cursed it and it dried up and died. Got rid of that, amen. It's a little spiritual or Holy Ghost, what's that spray? Roundup, a little Holy Ghost Roundup. That's what it was. Amen. On that fig tree. You don't want to produce, fine, you die. Yeah, hallelujah. Praise. That's the word. That's another, sowing and reaping. Like, you don't want to produce, you die. That's what the Bible tells us, that God takes the unfruitful branches that were grafted in. That's you and I, if you weren't born Jewish. Praise the Lord. He takes unfruitful branches that have been grafted in, and if they don't produce, he cuts them off and throws them into the fire. That's the Bible, folks. And Christians that aren't producing something, there's something wrong. If your life ain't changing, something's wrong. Something's wrong if your life ain't changing. You need to get it fixed. And that's what I'm talking about. You can confess all you want. You can think that you can get in church all you want, but until you do the word, you are deceiving yourself. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. That was the instruction received. See, you don't take care of what God has given you. You don't take care of things. One of those things, of course, we have all the natural things. This does apply to natural things. If you're believing God for more, then take care of what you have. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, somebody, I just got to say this. Somebody I've always been impressed about how they take care of things is our sister Chris. Hallelujah. Because, I mean, every time, she's always, I always see her, like, if we drive by her house, I can't tell you how many times we drive by her house, she's out there mowing the lawn or picking something, you know, and doesn't necessarily have, like, billions of dollars to make everything, but always takes care of things. I've always been comfortable sitting in her house, amen? That's just an example of excellence, you know what I mean? But that's the kind of stuff that God will bless, amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we don't want our poverty to come. We don't want things to fall apart. We need to take care of things. I hope you guys are getting the message here today that it's not just about natural things, but it's also about what we do. It's how we perceive things. And this stuff isn't some hard. I know sometimes when a message is preached, especially a corrective one, it can make us feel like, I don't know if I'll ever get there. Listen, you take small steps where you know. See, this is one of the wonderful things about God. When I came in, I was an absolute train wreck of a person. When I came into the church, I was all messed up. I was more screwed up than a football bat. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. I was so messed up, it wasn't even funny. I didn't know what was up from down. Praise the Lord. Backwards from forward. I was just all kinds of screwed up. But see, God, what he does is God comes in and he starts dealing on your heart with this one little thing. Right? One little thing. He'll start dealing with it. And so when you're faithful to do that, and you start changing that, guess what? He can get you a little more blessed. And then you come to church and you hear the word, and you know what? There'll be one thing in the message that sat in your heart, and you're like, you know what? That's the truth. There's something about that, or that's something I need to change. And so you make that adjustment, and guess what? God will, and sometimes he'll give us lots of times. You'll keep hearing the same thing over and over, and then finally he'll be like, yeah, maybe I need to finally change this. And then you do. And see, that's how you do it. Don't get overwhelmed. The devil is overwhelming. God is not. God is going to usher us in, but he's going to lead us and guide us in, but we have to take the steps to get there. And so if you've spent a lifetime, I don't care if you're 104 right now, I don't think there's any 104-year-olds in here, but if you are, glory to God for you. Praise God's been good to you because you made it to 104. Amen? But if you're 104 years old and you've done everything wrong in your life, listen, God will help you. Even now. Say so you're never too old, you're never too far away. Amen? I love the Lord. I love the truth, and I love the stability in the Word. Amen? Praise the Lord. Matthew 23:23. We're getting close to being done here. Praise God. Not praise God because we're close to being done. Because the Word is good, and it helps us, and it changes our lives. Amen? When we put it to practice. Say this with me. Say, the Word of God changes my life when I put the Word of God to practice. Amen. Glory to God. Matthew 23:23 says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Remember, scribes and the Pharisees, they were the religious people, right? Woe to you, Jesus talking. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. This is the part I want to get to. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. It's what you leave undone that will undo you. Don't leave things undone. You know what I mean? Do the right things. Do the good things. Don't grow weary in doing good and doing those things. But don't leave those other things undone. And if there's something you think that there's undone in your life and you don't know what it is, then you get on your knees before your Heavenly Father and you say, Lord, see, this is prayer, guys. This is what prayer is, not bless me more. But God will bless you. He just wants to do that. That'll be an automatic. Prayer is, Lord, show me where I need to fix it. Show me what I ask God all the time. Lord, show me how I can be a better pastor. Show me if I'm missing it in an area. Show me. And he will. And if he doesn't, don't go trying to dig something up. God will make it plain to you. He will reveal it to you. But don't leave things undone. Don't leave those little things undone. My wife and I, like back to our finances, when we lived that way, the reason that we weren't being blessed is because we were leaving things undone in our finances. God would not bless us because we were bad stewards of the money. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so we have to watch that. Amen? God won't bless us in areas. He won't bless you with a new. Listen, I don't care if you got the oldest, nastiest rust bucket and you're going to Denny's every other week to get it fixed. Hallelujah. Amen. And even if Denny's getting it, Denny could pray for you too because he can get tired of seeing your face in there. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Amen. No, I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. But no, even if you have the old nastiest, it doesn't matter. Listen, you just thank God for it and you take care of it the best that you can and you watch how God will bless you. But God ain't going to bless you if you're just like, oh, I just got this piece of junk. What's it worth anyways? It doesn't mean it's worth something to God because he sees you being a good steward with it. It's worth something to God because he sees you doing something with it when you're taking care of it. There was a minister once. I think it was a minister. It was a guy, a missionary or something like that. And he really needed a new bed. You know, he needed a new bed bad. And he was going to the Lord. And finally, the Lord spoke to him and said, he's like, you haven't even thanked me for the one you got yet. And what is that? It means the bed he had didn't mean anything to him. Well, I'm telling you right now, I'm thankful for the bed that I have. I wouldn't be unhappy with a better one. I'm thankful for the house I have. I wouldn't be unhappy with a better one. You know what I mean? We need to be thankful and take care of what we have. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's the same thing with the church. If we don't take care of this building, God ain't going to bless us with more. If we don't take care of this congregation, God won't bless us with more. If we don't take care of the people if we're just using this for ourselves, then God isn't going to increase us anywhere. It isn't going to happen. And listen, the increase spiritually also manifests in your life. Because the greater the increase there is, because people are doing things right, God can increase every other area of your life as it's connected to it. Because God always increases people. And I'm not just talking financially. I'm talking just increase, you understand, into that blessed life, John 10:10. The abundant life that God said, God always increases is according to how we're connected. Yeah. Praise the Lord. If you're not connected, you ain't going to increase. That's just the truth. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we're going to end in this scripture. Luke 16:10. Praise God. Hallelujah. Luke 16:10. Such an important principle in scripture. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. What it's saying is if you're not going to be faithful in the little, you will not be faithful in the much. That's why people say, well, Lord, you know, give me $1 million, I'll pay off the church. So he'll never give it to them because they're not proving it in the least that they have now. You know, that one widow, that woman that brought two mites, two pennies, if you want to say, all that she had, she brought that. And God could use something like that. He can use that way more than a billionaire, you know what I'm saying? God will increase us accordingly. But see, and God wants it, and see, that's another thing. I'm just going to tell you. God wants to increase his people, but they won't let him because they do things that don't allow him to increase them. Amen. My wife and I look to sow into, we look to sow into church. We look to sow into ministers. We look to sow into ministries. We look to sow into people every chance we get. Amen? Every chance we get. Why? Because it's, the Bible says, to be a blessing to the, especially to the household of faith. In Galatians, the end of Galatians here, 6. Praise the Lord. Be a blessing, I think 6:10 maybe, be a blessing, especially the household of faith. Yeah, but at any rate, you can look it up if you don't trust me, praise the Lord, or if it's not right. But we look forward to being a blessing to anybody we possibly can. Buy somebody's lunch. Be a blessing to the waitress that you know what I mean? That you eat a meal at, if she treated you good or not. Do it in the name of the Lord. Yeah. Why? Galatians 6:10, yeah. Do it in the name of the Lord. Be a blessing to somebody out on the street. You know, I've watched people do amazing things just with a few dollars. But see, people won't live that way, and they wonder why they're not being blessed. You know what I mean? And if you don't have anything, you know, my daughter, I love watching my daughter, because every time somebody's birthday, first of all, she gets just as excited, maybe more excited than they do about their birthday. And then she spends extra time making them a card, just making it, trying to make that card just what they would want, of things that they would want. See, that's somebody being a blessing. You ain't got to have a lot of money to be a blessing, but what will happen is God will increase you in areas, all areas of your life, because you're just trying to be generous. Because our God is a generous God, and we can't be his children unless we're going to be generous people. And so we don't look for reasons to keep back, we look for reasons to put out. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. In all areas of life. With our time. With our friendships. With our love. You understand what I love in reason. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about, you know, like free love like the hippies did. I'm talking about, like, you know, free love the way God gives it. Amen? You know, spending time with that person. Trying to help them out. Whatever. You know, doing the things that you have the ability to do. You know, God, there'll be many opportunities, and God will stir things on your heart. But it's the people that won't listen that don't get blessed. Look for opportunities to be a giver. I'm just going to tell you right now. I don't know why I'm stuck on this, but I'm going to hammer this just another minute more. Look for opportunities to be a giver. To be a giver. I'm not talking about just coming to church and putting into the offering bucket. For opportunities to be a generous person to everybody that you meet. Look for an opportunity to give into somebody. Praise the Lord. Why? Because God, that's the way our God is. God so loved the world, he gave us everything. All at once. Amen?